Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. So hello and welcome to episode 32 of the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. And this episode is all about burnout. Now, we've probably heard that word many, many, many times, but what is it? And what is the difference between depression and mood-related disorders? So for me, why this topic was important is because when we think about our modern way of living, so looking after children, possibly broken sleep with children waking up throughout the night. Even last night, Kai had a huge nightmare. I've never seen him so petrified before. And he got into our room and was screaming. And then I couldn't get back to sleep. So broken sleep is one that I thought at this age I would have been well and truly out of. Getting everyone ready, cooking, cleaning, lunch making, dinner making, going to school, making sure they've done their homework, extracurricular activities, managing businesses, careers, nurturing your relationship, your family, your friendships, exercise, weekend sporting commitments, making sure you've got enough groceries, making sure that your uniforms and clothes are all cleaned and ironed. Now, it is this stop-start, this constant movement and busyness, and I've spoken about this so many times, and I know that I've spoken about it so many times because every time I speak about it, it makes my body constrict and feel really, it makes it feel something. It feels very constricted and, dare I say the word, stressed out, thinking of all the things that have to be done. But also, I guess if we look into our nutrition, our lifestyle choices, and if we're going to couple this with the fact of perhaps a lack of tribe, where everyone is in a rat race. So even the tribe that you might have, they're busy dealing with their little circle of being a mouse on a wheel. I think intuitively, it's so obvious to me how collectively we are all burnt out because how many hats we wear all on our own. And my absolute admiration and respect really goes to all single parents because how they do this of their own, honestly, I could cry with respect and absolute heartfelt compassion. And gosh, how do you do it? How do you do it? Honestly, it really is, it's an enigma to me. And then I think perhaps is it that the expectations that we have and that we put on our children, that we put on ourselves, are they really quite unrealistic? And are we really reaching for the stars? And therefore, our lives are just so full in that sense. And perhaps it's the same with modern day living, that we all are trying to strive into becoming or being our best selves, that we're ending up in this burnout situation. And so that is really what has prompted this episode, because I feel as a collective, there is a lot going on. There has been, if we think we've come through COVID, where we were really treading water and feet were pedaling fast with unknown, lots of variables and factors we couldn't control, didn't understand, didn't know when it would end, that there is a collective fatigue, I would say. But what is interesting, and we'll go into this a little bit deeper, is that technically burnout pertains to an occupational situation and not in other areas outside of that. But anyway, we'll go into that a little bit deeper. But if that sounds familiar to you, and I essentially feel it more living in a city than, say, we did in Perth or Cairns, where there is this stillness and there isn't this vortex that I describe of Sydney, where you're sucked into this high pressure even when you're driving, if you're not keeping up, you know, you've got someone riding up your backside because you feel like you're constantly being pushed to operate at that particular pace. And that's fine if you want to go to the side and, you know, let everyone pass by you, but that still has an impact. I want to be very clear that even if you're taking your time and let everyone go, that extra movement, that pushing, that frenetic, fast-paced hustle, it has an impact. And I really want you to understand, even at a subtle level, it is having an impact. And so I can really understand how people move away from big cities into smaller places. And we've actually done the opposite, where we've moved away from smaller, quieter places to a busy place. But I can feel the impact and the change and how exhausting it feels with that particular pace of life. So that is the inspiration behind this episode. Now, the Black Dog Institute states that the financial impact of burnout with stress-related absenteeism and presenteeism costs Australia $14.81 billion a year. So that's a lot. That's significant. You can't look away because burnout is real. It's happening in any and all workplaces. I dare say a lot in the medical profession, because we have these beautiful empaths, these service health-related professionals working and putting themselves through COVID, and there is a collective burnout 100%. I know that for a fact in the pharmacy world. I know even at conferences and events that I've attended that burnout has been a theme that has come out and come up a lot. And even in the dental industry, I can feel like there is a lot of that in the medical profession. Now, in an article that I will link in the show notes, I'm going to quote this, but a stressful lifestyle can put people under extreme pressure to the point that they feel exhausted, empty, burned out, and unable to cope. Stress at work can also cause physical and mental symptoms. So factors at play really when we're thinking about this are you're put under time pressures. You can have conflicts with colleagues, neglecting your own self-care needs, your own needs to thrive as a person. The World Health Organization, what do they define burnout as? So burnout is not classified as a medical condition, according to the World Health Organization, but it's an occupational phenomenon in the 11th revision of the International Classification of Diseases, ICD-11. So I'm going to quote this exactly from the WHO website. So burnout is defined in ICD-11 as a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It is characterized by three dimensions. One, feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion. Two, increased mental distance from one's job or feelings of negativism or cynicism relating to one's job. And three, reduced professional efficacy. Burnout refers specifically to phenomena in the occupational context and should not be applied to describe experiences in other areas. So this is relating to an occupational standpoint, but then where I feel there's shades of grey is that when we're speaking of burnout at home, so when you're going out into the workforce and you're coming home and you still feel burnt out, even with home life situation, with stay-at-home parents, there is this burnout to do with their occupation, because being a stay-at-home parent is their occupation. So I then wonder, how do we fit in caring for an ill family member or other health conditions where there can be burnout in that particular area as well? So I've gone on to find another study, which was done by the University of New South Wales of 1,019 people. And a statement by Professor Parker was, interestingly, our findings also show that burnout doesn't exclusively affect those in paid employment. By broadening the study's scope to include those with unpaid home or care duties, we were able to note that burnout is not limited to those exposed to work-related stresses, which suggests burnout may be context-free. Now, this is where I guess there is a bit of conjecture. There's a bit of uncertainty as to exactly what burnout is. There's no industry standard. The World Health Organization is stipulating one thing. And of course, we have other studies emerging that are stipulating another. So there are shades of gray. And when I speak of burnout, I'm going to really be speaking of this feeling of burnout. So, you know, this lack of motivation. And we're going to go into it a little bit more in detail. But I really, when I'm speaking of burnout, I'm referring to motherhood. I'm going to consider that as our occupation as well. I'm going to consider that we can have burnout within the home situation. We can have burnout outside of the home situation. Because as someone that is wearing lots of different hats, I feel like it can mold, it can meld, you can have burnout in one aspect and it has a rippling effect into other areas of your life as well. So that is very, very important. So what are the signs and symptoms of burnout? So the three main areas include exhaustion. So you feel drained, you physically and emotionally feel exhausted, depleted. There's this inability to cope. Two, an alienation from work-related activities. So you can find your work stressful, frustrating, can get quite cynical, irritated, got this sense of dread that you have to go to work. I definitely felt that way working in community pharmacy. I just, towards the end of my, you know, I used to do 50 hours or so in working at the general public, and it wore my soul down. I absolutely dreaded going to work, absolutely. So, you know, I definitely experienced that in the health profession. Reduced performance. So it can be quite difficult to perform your particular role. You've got a lack of motivation and energy. You may even feel like you can no longer do your job, and that could be perceived or actual. So what was also interesting in that University of New South Wales study was that people that completed the questionnaire also indicated 9 other factors that were common in people that were experiencing burnout. So that was anxiety, stress, depression, low mood, irritability, anger, sleep disturbances, lack of motivation or passion, lack of concentration, memory loss or brain fog, withdrawal from others, physical symptoms such as aches, headaches, nausea, low libido, and emotional fragility. So I guess that leads me to the question of, well, how do you know if it's burnout and how do you know if it's depression? So a lot of those symptoms were similar. There's parallels between the two, such as lack of motivation, this exhaustion, this low energy, this fatigue, reduced ability to perform, the reduced ability to concentrate and focus, as well as that lack of empathy or reduced empathy, I should say, or that heartfelt connection. There's similarities. I'm never, ever going to deny that there are similarities. There are absolute similarities. And that's why it is pivotal. It is crucial to never self-diagnose, because we might think or assume or believe that what we are feeling or experiencing is burnout. And we might try self-care strategies and look at our work-life balance and make certain changes. But there could be very well an underlying biochemical disruption, discrepancy, change that's happening. And so try as you might to make lifestyle changes, you know, the actual treatment for depression is going to be very different. And so my absolute advice to you always would be to seek medical discussion from your GP at the very outset, because that's not going to allow you to delay treatment. It's going to look at the issue or problem head on to work out by a trained professional what exactly is happening here. It's not up to us as individuals. It's not up to us as family members to say, no, I think it's burnout. It could be depression. And where the issue with depression is that symptoms can escalate, and we can look at things like suicidal ideations and self-harm as being very real and very dangerous and severe consequences of delayed treatment, and that we cannot ignore it. So my advice is they can look similar. There are similarities, there are parallels, but they're not the same. The treatment is not the same. And so the only way to decipher and determine what is to go to a medical professional that knows everything about it. They could refer you for biochemical testing, for blood tests, for sleep studies. They can refer you to a psychologist, do mental health plans. They can refer you for all sorts of things, really, to look and investigate it further. So what I would definitely say is to start the process is to actually look within. I'm very much an internal reflector, as annoying as it may be for all those that know me, but I always love to know exactly what I'm dealing with. I want to spend the time to reflect and understand a little bit more. And so what I'm going to ask is that you jot down these questions and ponder them. Ponder them before you visit your GP. So what exactly are your symptoms? What are you presenting with? When did they start? Was there a particular trigger point? Was there a particular moment in time that you can pinpoint when they started? Give a time frame. Are they getting better? Are they getting worse? What is making them better? What makes your symptoms worse? They are very important parameters. Observe your appetite. What's your appetite like? Are you eating more? Are you eating less? Are you getting actual hunger feelings, or do you have no appetite whatsoever? What's your sleep patterns, your ability to fall asleep, your ability to stay asleep? How refreshed are you feeling when you're waking up? They're all important. Bowel movements, how often are you going? What does it look like? Are they painful? It's important. Just certain practices, food, situations make your symptoms worse. Does alcohol make it worse? Does caffeine make it worse? Do processed food make it worse? What's your gut health like? These are all very, very important questions that no one else can answer for you. It requires you to look in, and I would say and recommend that you dedicate some time to really work out exactly how you're feeling, and then everyone can essentially work out exactly what's going on. Now, the Black Dog Institute has a beautiful article that, again, I will link in the show notes. And they conducted a study and they found that certain mindsets or personality traits might make you predisposed, or they stand out as red flags as being predisposed to burnout. And they were perfectionists and work-focused traits. So they were red flags for developing burnout. So perfectionists, where you're going to work until it's absolutely perfect, right? And work-focused, where, you know, you're going to put everything else on the back burner until you finished the task at hand. Now, that was from that particular New South Wales Uni study. And in my book, Shining the Light on PND, I did write a chapter about mindsets. And following to that, I would think with burnout, the all or nothing trait that I spoke about, where you work yourself to the bone, you're only going to relax when you've finished your task at hand. But what I'm finding with kids is that work is never done. I don't think that that place will ever arrive until they're adults and able to look after themselves. So working yourself to the bone is not something that is sustainable. And I think I would feel that that is a trait or aspect to be a red flag for burnout personally. The people pleaser trait that I wrote about, I would imagine that that would be an idea or concept as a red flag for burnout, because you're going to want to please everyone around you and work yourself really hard and perhaps not fill your own cup. And that can perhaps predispose you to burnout. This comparison mindset, where we're comparing someone else's lifestyle, whatever it may be, whatever external things that, you know, people can compare about, I feel that you might push yourself harder to meet certain values or expectations or things that you have because you're comparing yourself to other people and standards. And another one I would think would be important is this aspect of control. So if you're not able to relinquish control and there's not this aspect of surrender, I would imagine that there is a risk for burnout because, yeah, perhaps you may not delegate certain tasks to other people because you may not trust that they will do it well enough. There's this aspect of really, just absolute control. I just somehow connect that very much as possibly being part of the whole burnout piece. So how do you treat burnout? Now, when I first spoke about how you treat depression, I believe you need to see a trained medical professional. I believe that wholeheartedly. I 100% do. I will always advocate for speaking to your GP with depression. Now, how do you treat burnout? Again, we're not diagnosing from the outset. We're going to actually find out by ruling out other conditions that burnout is actually what's happening. So there's no remedy or prescription per se that is going to treat burnout exactly. But what I would suggest that your GP does is to perhaps look at blood test studies, see if there's any underlying nutritional deficiency. It could be that they refer you to a psychologist for CBT, so cognitive behavioral therapy, sleep studies, blood tests, adrenal function testing, thyroid function testing, whatever they deem appropriate is going to be a good one. Definitely integrative GPs are quite good, and I have visited maybe a couple in my time, and they can look into a lot of different neurotransmitter testing and heavy metal testing and all sorts of things. They're very, very costly. Yes, I would attest to that, but certainly if that's something that is of interest, investigate it and see if that's something that resonates with you. But in terms of burnout, what I do feel are relevant is to really look into your work-life balance. So really looking into, well, what is the source of stress for you? Looking into where are areas in your life that are depleting you? Looking into your budget and your lifestyle to see, well, where can you streamline your energy and your resources so you're not felt burnt out? So, for example, if food preparation is a trigger point for you, so the thought of cooking dinner or lunch, then to arrange a meal delivery service. Online groceries, if going to the shop is a trigger point or sense of, oh, I just can't do that. Getting a cleaner or a housekeeper, if cleaning and having a tidy house is something that's a trigger point for you, but you just can't get on top of it, look into your budget. Is that possible to factor in? So try to cull any extra subscriptions if they're not value adding. And looking into certain things. So for example, with our healthcare cover, we've realized we're spending so much more a month on things that we don't need anymore in our coverage. We have subscriptions to so many different things that we don't use anymore. So it's really time and it's very important to cut them out, and you can use that budget into things that you're going to use. I think that's very, very important. So make a roster of tasks around the house. So share the duties. It's very important to divvy up tasks between everyone in the house. You're all under that roof. Okay, fine, a newborn can't really contribute. That's fine. It's age and stage dependent, of course. But if your kids are old and able, sometimes I look at my boys and I think, wow, I think they think I'm this magic fairy that just cleans up after them. And it every morning I feel like we're having the same thing and nothing changes, but I am not really selling this very well because I think we definitely need to hone in on that more in this household. I walk into Ari's room and there's hangers on the floor and the bed's not made, and it's like, come here, mate, you know, come on, let's pick it up, put the hangers on the shelf, clean your bed. Like, it's not my job and my role. I'm not raising boys that are going to have someone else potter around after them. No one has the time or energy for that. I definitely don't. And that's something I won't tolerate. So to have a roster, divvy the tasks, dedicate different tasks for different days. So to make a timetable, like you would say at school, that might give stability, structure, organization, clarity. It might help this feeling of overwhelm when you're thinking of, oh my God, I've got to do this. At least there's a sense of order. There's a sense of structure that can be very helpful. Now, there's also this concept of giving back, service, helping others. It enables us to feel good, and it's something that really can help the way that we actually feel. And we might feel like we don't have time. Obviously, if you're burned out, you don't have enough energy, but sometimes helping someone else, and it's not from minimizing what you're experiencing and what you're going through, but sometimes being able to help someone that's in a lesser situation than you, you actually end up feeling much better and you feel like you've contributed. And I think that's quite a beautiful tool as well that's quite underutilized. In terms of a role, trying to gain autonomy, also trying to perhaps do a challenge or gain a challenge or do a new project that might challenge you. So versus it being boring and mundane and, oh, I have to go back to work, or, oh my God, I have to do whatever it is that is a, a point of soreness for you is to try and find a challenge that can sharpen your saw. Variety is the spice of life, and to gain autonomy. So if you're having to check with someone all the time, or this lack of control, it can feel very depleting and really not motivate you. So to speak within your team, to work out how you can best enjoy your time at work and the role that you're doing, and really trying to make it as efficient as you possibly can. Clear communication, I think, is so incredibly important. But clear communication only works once you've observed and gone in and reflected about what you feel your needs are. There's no point whining about that you feel a certain way if you don't know what it is that your needs are or your values are, that it becomes very hard to find a solution. So I'm very mindful of that too. Now, sleep hygiene. I speak about it every single episode. Sleep hygiene is so important because sleep is a pillar of health. And when we're not feeling good, we have low energy, low motivation, we need good quality sleep. So we're looking into our alcohol consumption. We're looking into our caffeine consumption because that's all part of sleep and it's all part of activating our nervous system and, you know, sort of being a central nervous system depressant. We don't want to be on this roller coaster. We want to support our biochemistry as best as we can. Now, exercise is great for so many reasons, which I have spoken about in episode 29. So enhanced endorphins and energy. It's a really wonderful stress outlet. So it's very, very great. It also improves our sleep, which is an important pillar of health. Now, self-care strategies versus neglect. So the concept of filling your own cup, as cliche as it sounds, it really is so important to look after your own mind, body, spirit aspects, because you cannot give back to anyone else if you're not looking after yourself. It's just not possible. And so it might feel like it's a luxury. You might not even have the energy or motivation to do it. It might feel like an extra task that you have in amongst your already busy schedule. I get that too. But I think we need to slow down. And I always remind myself in the moments where I feel like, oh, I can't do this anymore, that I'm not the prime minister. There's nothing so magnanimous or hugely time pressure that if it's not met, that there's going to be, you know, a huge crisis within the country. I'm not that important. And not from a self-esteem point of view. I'm really just speaking from a perspective of, you know, we just have to put it into context that whatever we think is urgent, is it urgent? We just need to look into, what it is that we're thinking and thinking about our mindsets and the way we look at certain things as well. Definitely when I spoke about going to your doctor, looking into nutritional deficiencies is important. So perhaps there is low iron, B vitamins, vitamin D. They're all things that can affect our energy, our mood, motivation, how we're feeling. And that they can be very common if when don't have a well-balanced diet, if we're not getting out into the sun as well as we should or as much as we should, that's very, very important. Now, also this idea and concept of being fluid and flexible, like the tree and not, you know, bend with the wind versus breaking when the wind gets too much. Just, you know, let the small stuff go. And I know it's easier said than done, but this concept of will it matter in 5 minutes? Will it matter in 5 days? Will it matter in 5 weeks? Will it matter in 5 years? And if the answer is no to any or all of those, then it shouldn't matter right now. And I think that that's something that I am trying to get my head around, because I think that's a beautiful one to do, and it helps just not sweat the small stuff. Now, another thing is if we're looking at laptops and computer screens and lights all day, to wear some blue light blocking glasses. Now, this can help really regulate our circadian natural rhythm. It reduces the strain on our nervous system, and it can really help improve the quality of our sleep. And, you know, it's just blocking out this extra strain on our system. To dim the lights at nighttime. Again, these are all sleep hygiene strategies. Now, from an Ayurvedic perspective, we really want to bring in the earth quality. There's too much vata, which is this excess air and space, which creates too much movement. Enter the erratic mind, enter feeling frazzled, anxiety, push-pull. We want grounding, earth, fire aspects, and we do that with all of the five senses. Now, we can do that through a sesame oil massage on our body twice a day. So at least on the scalp, back of the neck, behind the ears, on our wrists and the soles of our feet. We want to cook with vata pacifying spices. So we're choosing produce that's vata pacifying. We want to eat warm cooked meals rather than cold and raw meals. We want to do meditation to slow the mind. Exercise that's heating, not too movement based, but a slow hatha style yoga is very, very good. It's quite grounding. We want to replenish our nervous system. Yin and restorative yoga are also beautiful. Swimming and rowing are very flowful. We don't want, when you're already feeling like your adrenal system is on, things like boxing and running and pounding the pavement, it feels like it's going to be stressing our nervous system more. I feel like more slow, mindful, nourishing things to our nervous system will be better, helpful, more helpful for us. So pranayama. Pranayama is the actual process of breath, focused, slow, connected breath. So nadi shodhana, which is this alternate nostril breathing, so calming to our nervous system. Really just holding our belly and feeling the rise and fall of our breath, being very concerted that it's a diaphragmatic breath versus a shallow breath, making sure our shoulders are back. I mean, I speak of this week after week and that the strategies are very similar for all sorts of conditions and symptoms, but it almost feels like it's relevant for all of them, for so many different things. Looking at our refined sugar intake that's very inflammatory, trying to have less packaged and convenient style foods that have no prana in there. We want more fresh prana-rich food because that energy, the prana, the life force that it's going to give us is going to actually, it's going to help us with our energy. Now, basically, what we're saying is that the energy behind food affects the quality of our mind. So packaged, stale, dull, takeaway food, it's what we call tamasic, which is dull. It makes our mind inert and stagnant. All foods can make it quite active and rajasic, this monkey mind. So we want more sattvic food. So it enables our mind to be calm, more poised, serene. And we do that through eating sattvic type foods. So very fresh produce is an excellent example. Ghee is another example that's very high, sattvic in nature. We don't want to eat a lot of, rajasic food. So caffeine and alcohol can affect the quality of our mind. But I'll go into that a little bit further in another episode. So journaling, I'm a huge advocate for journaling. Anything that pops up, what are your triggers? What are you observing? Look in. Maybe it's very easy to look out and point the finger of blame, but to look within as well to see, well, what are the triggers? What's actually happening? And observation is the only way that we can get a clearer idea of that. Meditation is going to be a beautiful, grounding, calming tool to help soothe and nourish our nervous system. It's very important for burnout, and we'll get a sense of endogenous energy and also an ability to calm and control our mind. The use of mudras. So mudras are when we're doing certain hand gestures that create a certain impact in our body. Each finger denotes a different element within our body. So if we're going to be holding our thumb and our ring finger, for example, that's called the Surya Mudra. And that is actually connecting the earth and the fire elements within our body. And that can be very grounding. So that's something that you can try even when you're walking, but that's quite a grounding activity or thing to do when you're just sitting there waiting somewhere. You know, you're connecting your fire and earth elements, and that's quite beautiful. With parenting, call in your tribe. I honestly say this even with older kids now, but we're not designed to do everything ourselves. We're not to ask for help. And if you're a family member or friend that has a capacity to help, then help. I don't like the idea of, oh, well, I did it. I had to do it. It shouldn't be this, I suffered. So you have to suffer too. That drives me absolutely insane. I think there needs to be compassion and empathy and kindness and unconditional love that if you can help someone, to help them. If you have the capacity to pay for help, then to pay for help. We need to see what is draining us of our energy, what are the trigger points that are causing us stress and strain, and to fill those plugs. It's really like a plug where
all the water's falling out. Fill the hole with whatever it is specific to you, and all of us are different. Connection. It's a connection with our family and friends and partner. Now, I think that that's such an underused resource. I think we definitely enjoyed it once we came out of COVID lockdown because we appreciated that we were missing that. And now that we have it, perhaps we're not doing it enough. That's very important. Bringing joy, more fun into your life. I think this aspect that we take life too seriously, I really do. In this new generation, modern world, I think we want to be, you know, all successful entrepreneurs with generational wealth, or maybe we don't. Maybe that's, I'm speaking very broadly here, but we get so caught up on our work or we get, yeah, the practical aspects of life. But to have fun, to have joy, to just enjoy the simple things, I think is a real art, and an art that we all need to take up again. I certainly do. Our family certainly does. And I think at school as well, between activities, extracurricular activities, homework, school life, there's just small snippets of windows for fun. And I think it takes mindfulness to make choices to have more fun. And it feels like it might be energy depleting, but it's energy giving. It definitely, you know, will feel lighter and more fun. Remember that self-care is not selfish. It's not a luxury. You are worthy. You are deserving to do it. Do any, do all of it that makes you feel good. And so that's very, very important. So the pearl to practice for this week is to look into your life, observe, peel away, look into what's causing you stress. And I want you to think of the top three things that are trigger points for you, and try to pick a strategy for each one, a solution for each one. Implement it and see how you feel. Is it helpful? By just looking at the top three stresses and you finding a solution, do you have more energy? Do you have more time? Do you have more space in your day to do more, to feel more, to allow more spaciousness into your life? I think burnout is a very real phenomenon. I think it's very sad. That's one of the down aspects of the modern world. I think it's to do with so much stimulus. It's to do with perhaps even our mindsets. And I do think social media has a lot to do with it, because you're constantly comparing. You're constantly looking at perhaps what other people are doing. Work might be an escape of perhaps an underlying unhappiness within the home. And so you might be working more because it feels safer than being at home. And then that, I would say, to look into that and to really ask yourself, you know, are you escaping something? But that only comes through introspection. It only comes through reflection. Is burnout happening, in the home environment because you don't want to relinquish control? You don't trust other people to look after your children or doing other home duties. Is it a practical reality of budget? And that's fair enough. Are there areas that you can cull to perhaps allow for that in your budget? But I'm definitely always mindful of going within, looking within. We have so much wisdom within us. Our body doesn't lie. If we're feeling like we can't go on, yeah, I mean, look, it's a perfect opportunity to reflect into your life and see what's working, what's not working. And so, yes, that was my mindful moment or pearl to practice this week. And I hope you've taken away one or two nuggets from this episode, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed having you here. And until next time, I hope you have a fabulous week. Keep well, keep safe, and take care. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing. Share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive. And I look so forward to joining you again next week.